Welcome back. We're discussing buying property in Thailand. But next time, we'll be taking a look at Cyprus, which offers great benefits to the UK buyer. So if you've got a question about buying property in Cyprus, drop us an email via our website, which is, of course, buyassociation.co.uk. With me now is Claire Brown from Southeast Asia Specialists, Claire Brown Realty, to talk to us about the property available in Thailand. Claire, what's available to foreign buyers?
Well, to be honest, anything's available to foreign buyers, and a lot of our clients are pure investors. So they'll be going for the stuff that Thai nationals are buying, stuff in Bangkok. Low-cost housing gives you very, very good yields at the moment. But I think probably most listeners will be more interested in the resort-style property and the lifestyle property. So when you go to an overseas property show here in the UK, you'll generally see the stuff that's marketed to Westerners that carries a little bit of a Western price tag, but it's generally high quality. It's either beachfront or sea view, stuff that comes with private pools, and it has to be normally fully managed as well for it to be appealing to an overseas investor.
Okay, so fully managed. What sort of are we talking about in terms of price?
Again, it's. I don't want to be too vague because I know that's really frustrating for listeners, but you can buy stuff in Pattaya from about 25,000 sterling upwards. There's a quality angle. Whenever a price is that low, I would personally question it. An average price for a decent apartment, whether it's in Pattaya, Phuket or Samui, really should be a minimum of £100,000. And if you're looking at a villa, Laura was completely bang on, and I was really relaxed that she was, because most people get it wrong. An average villa in a pretty nice location shouldn't really be any less than £200,000 sterling. And again, because of the way land prices have gone up, if the villa was costing less than that, that might almost be an alarm bell.
And it's also important to say, we hear many times location, 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 but as you've just said there, quality of build, quality, quality, quality.
We have a phrase in our business which is due diligence, due diligence, due diligence, and they're the three most important considerations if you're buying overseas, whether it's in Thailand or anywhere else. And it really is a case of not just looking at the sexy pictures, but really, really drilling down on the developer and what they've done already. There's quite a few amateurs developing in Thailand, which makes me extremely nervous. We like to look at how the projects are structured. The critical item that we ask our clients to look for is how the project is financed, because there are a lot of developers that are really, you know, flying by their shirt tails, and that's not a good environment when you're spending your hard-earned money, if it's retirement money or, you know, inheritance or something like that.
As a foreign buyer, are there any restrictions?
The media pretty much gets it wrong, and I loved what Laura said because she was extremely bang on again. You can buy freehold, but you have to set up a Thai limited company. The legal situation with that, it used to be a kind of backdoor way of doing it where you'd get the lawyer to sort of, you know, give you some Thai nominee shareholders, but that structure's really under the spotlight at the moment, and it's not something that we'd endorse at any time. So if you are buying a very, very expensive property freehold, you need to find genuine Thai shareholders, and they actually have to get a dividend annually, so it costs a little bit more. For properties over £1 million, it's worth doing. If it's less than £1 million, forget it. The ownership structure we really endorse is leasehold. It's very, very watertight. Normally in leasehold contracts, again, that we would endorse, there has to be an option to convert to freehold if the law changes, and if that's implemented, then that's absolutely fine, and I'm very happy with leasehold.
Now, you just said that if the law changes, because you know, political instability in Thailand, it's renowned. There was a coup around about beginning of the new year. I should know, I was there when it happened. Should people be worried?
I'm not worried, and my business is based upon you know, marketing Thai investment property, and I think that the coup was enormously peaceful. There wasn't a voice raised or a shot fired. I mean, if you certainly look at other places where there's a political uprising, you really wouldn't want to step out of doors. But every, you know, schools were open, banks were open. It was very, very
calm. The traffic flowed for once.
You know, you could actually get from A to B without worrying too much. So no, I've not been worried about the coup. And the only thing that worries me is how the Western media reports things like that. Thailand's not very popular with CNN for some peculiar reason, and they normally get the bad side of press. But yes, you were there. Lots of my friends and business partners were there. It was perfectly peaceful. Zero concern from where we're sitting.
Okay. Well, if you're looking then for rental property in, say, an established tourist area, how easy is it going to be for you to perhaps manage that from a distance, you know, here in the UK? You know, you may well want to move there eventually, but not at this moment in time.
I think anyone looking at investment property is looking at capital growth, and they're looking at rental yields. And having an excellent rental yield, which is consistent, actually gives you capital appreciation, because it makes your property much, much easier to resell if you've got a, you know, open books, and you're then selling a going concern. So it's an absolutely critical point that the property is going to be managed for you. You can't fly 11 hours if a boiler breaks down. It's just not practical. It'd be madness. So you would only really, as a serious investor, you would only be looking at resort developments where there was full management and full transparency of the management as well. I think that, you know, you'd normally be getting quarterly accounts, and I'd only endorse open book accounts from a developer. You should be getting a yield that's paid into either a local bank account or an offshore account or something like that. So essentially, what we like is hands-free investing where you have to do absolutely nothing. And if you choose the right developer, that should be the case. So you just sit back, relax, and wait for the money to land.
Particular areas for rental better than others?
Koh Samui is fantastic. Koh Samui, really, there is a huge shortage of high-end resort accommodation. We're not trying to get people from England to fly over and rent it out. We're really looking at what I call the Hong Kong market, which is expats and the wealthy Chinese in Hong Kong, Shanghai, Singapore, Kuala Lumpur. I was just in Hong Kong quite recently, and everyone's got a property in Samui, darling, or else they go there when it's Easter or Christmas. So Koh Samui offers the highest yields. Phuket's always been great for investors. Krabi's up and coming. I'm slightly concerned about Pattaya. I think there's a danger in Pattaya of there being a little bit of a glut of investment property. And I would say Bangkok, you generally get a decent yield as well if you're letting to a Thai national.
OK, just make sure that you do your homework. Next, we'll find out how to go about buying property in Thailand from Claire and Laura.
Overseas Property Buy Association, sponsored by Moneycall, the foreign exchange specialists.
Buying abroad? You've thought of everything. Location, mortgage, tax. But have you thought what fluctuating exchange rates could do? What you can afford today, you might not be able to afford tomorrow. Moneycorp are the long-established foreign exchange experts. We can find you competitive exchange rates, which can be fixed for up to 2 years to avoid nasty surprises. Plus a full range of other services, including fast international money transfers at very low rates. Make your money go further. Moneycorp. Call 020 7589 3000. That's 020 7589 3000. Or visit moneycorp.com.
Overseas Property Buy Association. Practical, impartial advice and information about buying property abroad. Sponsored by Moneycorp, the foreign exchange specialists.
You're listening to Overseas Property Buy Association, providing you with impartial advice on buying property abroad. Claire Brown from Claire Brown Realty and property journalist Laura Latham are with me discussing buying in Thailand. So, does Bangkok offer the UK property investor good opportunities? Laura.
I think it certainly does in terms of if you want to buy, you know, as a buy-to-let, as to own for a long-term investment as well. I think in terms of where you buy, it's quite important to maybe pay that little bit more and buy in quite a central location that's good for businesses, locals getting to work, that kind of thing. And anybody who works for a multinational, you know, overseas expats who want to rent there, there are a lot of properties that are quite bland being built on the outskirts of the city. Mm. And they're quite cheap, but they don't necessarily have the backup. Service departments is probably what you should go for. And often ones that are backed by a good quality hotel chain are quite popular as well.
Maybe you should contact all the embassies to see if people there would like to rent your property.
Well, yeah, that's possible. And as the multinationals, if you have a big company that's bringing in people from overseas to work for them, then that's also a good bet.
Yeah. What about resale of property in Thailand? And in particular, say, we're just talking about Bangkok.
If you were going to resell a property, it's best to go to one of the local companies. I think Hamptons are over there, Knight Frank, Colliers, they all have offices in Bangkok. It really is important to consider resale because the exit strategy is critical with any investment. If you don't know how you're going to get out, don't get in. And I'm slightly dubious about Bangkok because the days of very strong capital growth within the high-end sort of expat type market are almost over. And I think that there was a lot of development sort of from 1989 onwards, which was very, very successful in terms of the increases in price that happened. But it really has petered out a bit. When the oil price rose last year, it really affected the price of concrete, would you believe? So that really made property being built almost too expensive to resell anyway. The type of property that I think does give you really good opportunities for reselling is the stuff at the lower end of the market, which is sold to local nationals. There are an enormous amount of local nationals, then the availability of finance for them is very, very here and now. It's very new. And that would be for an exit strategy. If you want to buy maybe more than one unit and sell them, that would be.
All right. Well, let me take you out of Bangkok then. And are there any other areas that you consider good for potential buyers?
I think Chiang Mai is probably somewhere. Again, if you're somebody who maybe has just been warned off Bangkok by what Claire has said, then maybe somewhere like Chiang Mai it's the third largest city. It's got a lot of commercial activity going on there, and there's a big motorway that's being built at the moment that's going to take people straight through to China, which is bringing in a lot of people who want to do business with China but not necessarily locate there.
And ironically, I've got a property report magazine here from Thailand which I picked up on the aeroplane saying Chiang Mai's five-star future with question marks. So
yes, that could be good again for the buy-to-let investor.
What about yourself?
I think Chiang Mai, there's two angles. I think, again, finding property that's going to be let to locals or resold to locals would be excellent. Again, the rising middle class is not to be overlooked. There's also quite a retirement focus within Chiang Mai. There's not a beach there, but not everyone likes to bake all day. So certainly there's a lot of golf developments, which I think are quite nice. And just on Bangkok, I think every location in Thailand has the potential to provide a good investment because of the whole country's economic development as a whole. But I think it's finding the angle within each of those locations and finding the best type of investment within each of those.
Okay, what about the after effects from the horrendousness of the tsunami in 2004? Are the effects still being felt there in the property market?
Definitely not. At the time, it was pretty horrific. I was in Koh Samui when it happened, and everyone was just blown away. In Samui, it's commercially mercenary to say they had enormous gains in property prices because people felt very safe. It's protected in the Gulf of Thailand. I was in Phuket 3 months after looking at a development there, and really the market almost froze. Prices didn't go down, but there really wasn't any activity, and you just couldn't go to Phuket and do business because it was just so sad.
Well, that's why Pattaya found itself becoming slightly more popular because of being on the other sort of coast away from.
It was the gain of places like Koh Samui and Pattaya that obviously was Phuket's loss for that bit. But I think, I mean, Phuket now, you wouldn't even know that anything had gone on. And I think the smaller islands like PP Islands, they're still rebuilding, and there is still, you know, some evidence that there was that, you know, devastation there. But certainly in terms of Phuket, no. But yes, Pattaya has you know, gone up a lot. I think it's a very, very well-developed resort. But I always think if you just want a cheap, cheerful kind of property, I mean, there are a lot of very high-end developments just a little outside of the town.
Jomtien, I think, is beautiful.
Yes, and it is lovely there. But in terms of being right, you know, in the centre of it, I think a lot of people are put off by how developed it is. But if you want your beach, you know, just property near the beach, you want something that's just, you know, I've seen places there for as low as £20,000. And no, it's not going to be glamorous and it's not going to be, you know, high-end. But it's just
somewhere you can escape to.
Beachfront pad you can just chill out in.
All right. Claire, is it worth buying property, or rather not property, is it worth buying land in Thailand?
If you can get your hands on anything that's left. I mean, beachfront land is a finite commodity. Islands like Koh Samui that are 206 kilometres square, it's almost impossible to get beachfront land. I heard of someone being offered 60 million baht per rai, which is a phenomenal amount of money. It's about £1 million. A rai is 1,600 square metres, by the way. If you can find land maybe in some less developed regions like Krabi, or certainly on some of the mainland, like the mainland of Surat Thani, which is the place you go to catch the ferry to Koh Samui, that would be for the very speculative investor who's willing to take a punt and sit back and maybe wait 3 or 4 years for it to mature. I think that buying land as a professional investor can be quite sensible, but again, it comes right back down to due diligence and making sure you get all the servitude and everything else.
And wherever you have bought, I mean, in terms of capital gains, has it been good over the last few years?
Yeah, Thailand's been very good to all of our clients, and myself included. We've seen, I was working on a development, I've done developing in Thailand as well as just marketing here in the UK, and I think that the first house I sold was 14 million Thai baht, about £200,000. We sold the same house 2 years later for 30 million to a Chinese investor. That same house now is worth about 60 million.
Right.
So we've seen quadruple growth in 4 years, which
excellent.
Is pretty good.
Well, if you go to our website, buyassociation.co.uk, you can download a free buying guide to Thailand, as well as ask our online experts any question you might have about overseas property. Next up, it's your questions answered by Laura and Claire, so stay with us.
Overseas Property Buy Association, sponsored by Moneycall, the foreign exchange specialists.
Buying abroad? You've thought of everything, location, mortgage, tax, but have you thought what fluctuating exchange rates could do? What you can afford today, you might not be able to afford tomorrow. Moneycorp are the long-established foreign exchange experts. We can find you competitive exchange rates, which can be fixed for up to 2 years to avoid nasty surprises, plus a full range of other services, including fast international money transfers at very low rates. Make your money go further. MoneyCorp. Call 020 7589 3000. That's 020 7589 3000. Or visit moneycorp.com.
Overseas Property Buy Association. Practical, impartial advice and information about buying property abroad. Sponsored by MoneyCorp, the foreign exchange specialists.
Hello again, I'm Adrian Mills, and now it's time for our experts, Southeast Asia specialist Claire Brown of Claire Brown Realty and property journalist Laura Latham, to answer a couple of your questions on property in Thailand. The first email is from Neil Simmons. Let's see. It says, I have £150,000 to invest in property that I will use for around a month a year and rent out for the rest of the time. I'm thinking about Thailand, but is it a better investment than Europe? Claire.
Absolutely. If we start with the macro and then we'll drill down, I'm going to be quick, don't worry. GDP growth figures for Asia for the last 2 years have been an average of 8.6%. The GDP growth figures for the European countries, what I call the West, have been averaging about 3.2 recurring. So just if you look at a region as being a good money parking place, I would always want to park my money in Southeast Asia. Thailand's the most popular of those countries for investment. Very, very clear exit strategy with the Hong Kong market. And certainly for £150,000, you can buy a beautiful two-bed penthouse apartment with a private pool on the balcony with fantastic sea views. You can actually get finance, so the risk becomes very minimised at 60% loan-to-value. You can get rental guarantees that actually take care of the finance. So out of your £150,000, you're left with £50,000 change to possibly get some solid buy-to-let stuff in the UK to anchor your investment portfolio. And you also get a property that pays for itself that you can use unlimited.
All right. Have you got a money parking place?
Ooh.
I like that.
I need to think about getting one, don't I? I mean, certainly, if you have that kind of money and you're looking, you'll get more for your money in Southeast Asia, and yes, in Thailand is the obvious place to put it than in Europe. If you're comparing it to, you know, £150,000 in, say, southern Spain would get you very little. You know, you might get a reasonable two-bedroom apartment somewhere. The Costa del Sol, somewhere like that. It's closer, for sure. But in terms of the value you'll get, your money will buy you a lot more out in Thailand.
So I think that's Thailand, then, from all three of us, isn't it, really? OK, let's move on to the second email. It's from Patricia Cole. Is it possible to get a permanent retirement visa for Thailand?
Yes. I mean, there are two ways that you can stay in Thailand. One is to have the basic visa, which is it's 90 days and you leave the country. At the end of that 90 days, you slip across the border to Malaysia, get it stamped and come back, which gets pretty tiresome after a while, especially if you're wanting to retire. The actual retirement visa is you have to be over 50 years old. And you have to show that you've had, up to the point of application, you have to have had consistently in your bank account over 800,000 baht, which is, at the moment, it's around about £12,500. You have to show that you have a pension that's of a reasonable amount of money, and you often will have to provide proof of that. Other than that, you know, it should be pretty straightforward to go out there.
The only added point on the visa situation, for the retirement visa, it works really well, but you cannot get a work permit if you've got a Thai visa. Now, I've got a lot of friends who are sort of 50-something and they don't want to settle down that quickly, so they have to really, really kind of balance the benefits. The visa and situation, I've done those arduous minibus journeys over the border to Malaysia, and as soon as I started working in Thailand and had a bit of Thai baht, I used to fly to either Singapore or Hong Kong and have 3 days shopping and fly back. That's okay. So there's always that angle if you've got a bit more money.
It is quite a laborious process, isn't it? And no disrespect to the Thais, but it can actually sort of drive you insane in terms of the red tape.
They sort of, on the one hand, they make it very easy to live there by how welcome you are, and on the other hand, they get you to jump through a few hoops. But I think you have to remember that Thailand is the only country in Asia that's never been colonised, and so they're very, very proud. And what they don't want is everyone piling in, as we've done in Spain, and actually changing the language, changing the culture, changing the food that's served up. They want to keep it Thailand, and that's why we like it. So we don't mind too much. It's worth it.
What's the expression? That's sabai sabai,
which
is the equivalent of manana. Just everything takes time.
Easy going.
All right, let me just put you all on the spot then. Final minute. Whereabouts, final place, you're given the opportunity, where are you going to purchase?
I think right now, high-end property in Koh Samui would be the safest bet. It's a proven market, but it also allows a lot more room upstairs for capital growth, much more than in Phuket, where it's pretty toppy already.
Yeah.
I think if we're talking personally, and I'm kind of an out of the way girl, and I like the idea of some of the islands that are now coming up for development. Places like Koh Chang and some of the smaller islands off the coast are now seeing new, and the transport links are getting better, the ferries are getting better, but you're in a resort location, but you're away from all the buzz.
We've just taken on our first stock in Koh Phangan, and I thought it was a bit too early, and we've had a fantastic response, so, yeah.
That's what it's about. Well, that's all for this show. Many thanks to our guests, property journalists Laura Latham and Claire Brown of Claire Brown Realty.